Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you. And we thank you for this wonderful time that you have us in. Lord, place it in our hearts to pray for revival. Bring revival on, Lord. And Lord, thank you for teaching us that our prayers do mean something, even though we're one or two or three or four, whatever. It makes no difference. You're here, you hear us, every time we open up our mouth. I praise you and I thank you for all that you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us and guide us into what you want us to get into tonight, Lord. And I praise you and I praise you and I thank you for all that you do in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to want to get along with you every day and to find out what you have for us, even if it takes hours. Lord, help us to get this distraction off of us. You know, we sit down and we get to thinking, well, I need to get up and do that before I get started, and it's gone. And I praise you, Father, for helping us get rid of that garbage, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Lord, for getting Missy home safe. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Lord. She got any leftover pork chops, you sent them up here. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Lord, I thank you for your grace, your long suffering with us, and that you see the outcome of our faith. I thank you, Lord, for giving us that diligence to be doers of your word, to love you above everything else, to put you first, and to say no to our flesh, and just keep saying no to our flesh, and rebuking and casting down the vain thoughts and imaginations of the enemy to distract us, and whatever that may be. I thank you, Lord, for time. This time that you've given us, Lord, help us to be using it wisely, that we be sober and watchful for our prayer times. And I also, Lord, just thank you for giving us that discernment when the enemy is trying to condemn us for what we're not, or what we're doing, or because of this, or because of that, and you didn't do this, and look what you did, and da 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 da. So thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving us all the tools that we need, and blessing us, Lord, because you bless the righteous, and it is a battle. But you've already given us the faith, and faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And we just keep believing you by faith that you've done all these things for us. And we're fighting against the enemies of our souls and doing the warfare that you called us to do. And help us to prioritize the things that we do have to do, because we do have things to do. And I just pray blessings on all my brothers and sisters, Lord, who are going through these trials. And whatever that may be, personal stuff, and the enemy wants to distract us with personal stuff, with family stuff, with just things going around and going on in our lives. And I thank you for using us, God, where you send us, for the people that we may come in contact with, and keeping us safe. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done and what you are doing to keep us safe. That there has not yet been a lot of these judgments that have been prophesied that were coming here, that are coming here to the United States. And I know that there's a lot of talk about things, but I'm grateful, Lord, that you hear our prayers, and that these things have not come to pass yet. And a lot of judgments are still coming, I know. Pray that you would give us more light and understanding in these areas, Lord, and how to pray. Because we know these judgments are coming. And I also pray, Lord, that we'd just be ready for all these things spiritually. We'd be a way, we would have the answers, and for people who don't, when these things do happen. We thank you for doing more than we can ask or thank, God. I thank you, Lord, for making everyone, providing for everybody's needs, God, according to your riches and glory, whatever that may be, the spiritual needs, the financial needs, the emotional needs, whatever it is that we have, that we need, God, that the answer is in Christ, and we can see and say that it's done at the cross, and you were faithful who promised. Thank you, Lord, for blessing all your righteous children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Joe.
Bless you all.
Yeah, bless you. Going to read this because I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Is anybody that didn't read that revival in Brazil thing I put on Signal? Didn't read, okay. Revival in Brazil, transformation through prayer. It's not very long. In the mid 1990s, can you hear me okay? Things are falling. Get back, Loretta. In the mid 1990s, a spiritual transformation took place in Goiânia, Brazil, a city of 1.2 million. Evangelicals grew from 7% in the whole city to over 45% in 7 years. The movement was very much characterized by prayer, especially among women who formed bands of intercessors. Around 1990, five women began praying together for the city. Elizabeth Cornelio, a mother and a housewife, one of the leaders of the prayer group, was told by her pastor not to pray with Christians from other churches. Now, what kind of a pastor would tell their congregation to do that? But 4 years later, she began inviting other Christians from various churches to pray in unison for the city. For this, she was expelled from her church. Well, good for her. She needed to be out of there. 850 came together for the first combined prayer meet. 850. The movement grew rapidly with nearly 200,000 women praying every morning for the city. Elizabeth Cornelio's daily radio broadcast brought targeted reports on criminal trends to intercessors. Together they prayed, and the city was changed. After prayer, women went out in the marketplace to pray, simply blessing those around them. And when the program was canceled for 3 months, the crime rate rose 40%. Can you imagine? The mayor and chief of police asked that the program be reinstated, and the crime rate receded. And it was commonly said that the intercessors were ruling the city, not the mayor. Mobile prayer teams went door to door. Most weekends, around 150 people would be saved, and a new church would begin. As thousands prayed, every church in the city grew, and new churches were planted. Christians from one denomination prayed and fasted for 40 days at the end of 1998 and planted 372 new churches in January of 1999 alone. And as 90 local denominations worked together, thousands of prayer leaders were trained, and the flames of a prayer revival spread to other parts of Brazil. Ultimately, prayer cells were established throughout Brazil. Today, the church in Goiânia, I guess that's the way you pronounce it, is known as a place where revival is a lifestyle. Churches have experienced phenomenal growth. One congregation in the city, the Universal Church of God's Kingdom, has 80,000 members, 7 million nationwide, and 10 million worldwide. A 24-hour mountain of prayer draws many, and miracles are often reported. What began by prayer is still spreading. Just as natural cells multiply, the prayer cell movement is rapidly growing beyond Brazil and Latin America to other parts of the world. Carlos Oliveira of PrayerNet International is a revival preacher who comes out of Goiânia Church of over 60,000 members. Now based in California, he works with Elizabeth Carnelio as prayer director of the National Intercession Network. Oliveira, who helps establish prayer cells worldwide, says God has been doing some awesome things, especially in Brazil. Many pastors are coming from different parts of the country to hear about and participate in what God is doing. Prayer cells, they are embracing this vision and taking it to their cities. We have been now establishing an average of one prayer cell a day in Brazil and around the world. Amazingly, God has directed us to also establish prayer cells in schools and government agencies. And so far, we have started one cell in a private elementary school and one in the Treasury Department of the state. Praise God. In Nigeria, there's a church that started a children's prayer cell. We have started church prayer cells in Nigeria, Kenya, Pakistan, are in the process of starting cells also in Taiwan, Togo, Zimbabwe, Ghana, Angola, and soon we will have church prayer cells in Hong Kong and Germany. Unlike private prayer groups, the prayer cells cover each other in prayer and pray for the whole network. They may be city prayer cells or church prayer cells, but all are encouraged to meet once a week to pray for revival and for their area's specific needs. Firmly convinced that prayer makes a difference, Oliveira says, the most successful churches, ministries in the whole world are those that have ongoing prayer covering. What began as a small group of women gathering to pray has changed a city, a nation, and the world. Allow God to grow the small beginnings in your life. And it goes on, it says, in all our prayer, let us remember the lesson the Savior would teach us this day, that if there is one thing on earth we can be sure of, it is this, that the Father desires to have us filled with His Spirit, that He delights to give us His Spirit. And when once we have learned thus to believe for ourselves, and each day to take out of the treasure we hold in heaven, what liberty and power to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit on the Church of God, on all flesh, on individuals, or on special efforts. He that has once learned to know the Father in prayer for himself learns to pray most confidently for others too. The Father gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him, not least, but most, when they ask for others. What a wonderful testimony. That's how revivals get started. That's how revivals get started. Golly, what an awesome testimony. Father God, I just thank you that you place it in all of us to do the same thing, to pray and believe that revival is going to start. And we pray and bless your elect in the area. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that revival will start right here where I am, where Julie is, where Missy is, Joe, Barbara, and Andrew. In Jesus' name, and we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. We just thank you and we know, Lord, that you're going to send the angels out and start start this revival, start getting people awakened as to what the Word of God says, and that it is the Word of God. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for words to say, wisdom in the words that we say when we speak to people. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, place it in people's heart to get together, to pray for their community, and to bring revival in their community so that they could start more prayer groups, start more prayer groups here and there and everywhere. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Has anybody got any comments? Okay. All right. Well, Julie's got a song. Let's listen to the song then. Nobody wants to say anything. Oh, let me give you, there it is. I allowed you to do it, girl.
Said if we would pray and we would seek and humbly lay our lives down at your feet, that you would bring us to a place where earth and heaven meet for your glory, make us holy. So we have come to kneel before your throne, faith and confidence in you alone. You would heal our land and overwhelm us with your hope for your glory. Make us holy. Come like a sound of roar and thunder. Cover the earth with signs and wonders. Bring it away. Consume us with your power, Jesus. We need you in this hour. Bring an awakening, bring an awakening. We need an awakening. The increase of your kingdom has no end. Consume us with your power. Jesus, we need you in this hour. Bring an awakening. Bring an awakening. One more time. Come and come like the sound of roaring thunder. Cover the earth with signs and wonders. Bring an awakening. Bring an awakening. Come and consume. Come and consume. With your power, Jesus, we need you in this hour. Bring an awakening, bring an awakening.
Yeah. Isn't that the same guy that sings about the bones coming alive? That's Michael. What's his name? Y'all can shake your heads all you want to. His name is Michael. Yeah,
that's Dustin Smith. That's Dustin Smith, and he was okay. With well, he was that particular song he was doing with People and Songs.
Okay. All right, Junie or Missy.
I think the guy you're talking about, that's the dry bones one, is Michael McFerrin, Michael something. Yeah.
Michael McFerrin.
Yeah.
McFerrin or something like that. Yeah, you're
something
right.
Something like that, yeah.
That guy there looked like him, doesn't he? Okay, I stand corrected. Oh. See, Lord's getting that flesh off of me. Glory to God.
Yeah, I'll just look it up. I'll find it.
I don't care. All right. Anyone else got something to say? I wonder what it would take to have people pray for revival. And it sounds like those five women were dedicated. And if you're dedicated, God's gonna listen to you. I remember the ladies that brought in revival down at, that country down there. Yeah, Missy.
Was it the Hebrides?
Yeah. The two old ladies that were praying revival over there. And others, too. Y'all know who David Brainerd was? He was an evangelist to the Indians way back when. And it's a lot of miracles. He saw a lot of miracles. I've got to go back and refresh myself. He was another one that was always praying. Always praying. George Mueller was another one. Did y'all know he never told anybody what he needed, but God just gave him what he needed? Yeah. Only one he told was Jesus, Lord, I need enough to get this built, get this thing built, and I thank you for doing it for us. You have to do a little warfare too. I've been reading about some people who have given it all, surrendered all. And what happens when you surrender it all? People come against you. Did you hear what that happened with that The ladies that were starting, they didn't want, the pastor of that one church didn't want praying with other people out of another church. Boy, he's got a controlling spirit, didn't he? Yeah, Missy.
I would call it factious. Very
Well,
divisive. Very
yeah.
divisive. Jeez,
Yeah.
that's horrible.
That's a rejection spirit that he's got also. Just crazy, controlling spirit. Yeah, could be. Knew of a guy, a pastor, years ago, that his deal was for his church, in order to be on the books in his church, you had to tithe. You'd be surprised at the churches that are like that. You couldn't be on the rolls as a member of that church unless you tithed. Where's the faith? Farron, yeah, that's him, dry bones. That's it, Julie. I look just like him, Dustin Smith did. Yeah, he did. Go ahead, Missy. I ain't listening to you. I got you muted. No, I don't. I'm kidding.
Now I forget what I was going to say. What were you just saying?
I was just
No,
saying, I don't have her muted.
Before all
Before that, well, about the pastors that have controlling spirits and that kind of thing.
Oh gosh, there was something I was going to say.
A guy, a preacher I knew, young guy, he had everybody in his church. He said, "You cannot be on the rolls of my church unless you tithe every week."
Oh, okay, that's what I was going to
Where is
comment.
that in the Word of God?
Well, my thought is how does everybody have to report what their income is so that they know they're given 10%?
I don't know. I didn't go. I never went to his church.
That's the first thing that came to my mind is like,
Well,
how do they know? Or maybe they have to part of their way of tithing is pledging to give so much a month or something like that.
don't know. I don't know. I know this much. I was going to a church, and I remember and this was a friend of mine from years ago, and I remember when he called me into his office for teaching against tithing, and he told me, he said, "Well, I knew when you quit tithing, when you finally, yeah." I said, "Oh, okay. So you're one of those kind of guys, huh, Jim?" And I didn't say that. I just told him, I said, "Look, let me tell you something. If you get it," he said, "Where do you come up with all of this stuff?" I said, "What all the stuff you talking about? You talking about tithing? Looking at we're in the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant, Jim." He said, "Well, how are we supposed to pay for the electricity in this church bill? How are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to do that?" I said, "There's a five-letter word. It's all through the New Testament. It's called faith. You have to believe God for it." And he said, "Well, I'm just going to shut you down." I said, "Well, okay. You might move me, but you're not going to shut me down. That's silly." I just laughed at him. But it wasn't a year before he left that church. The same thing happened to another preacher that came against God's people. Just wasn't long after that. Yeah, Julie.
Michael, you said that he knew when you quit tithing.
Yes.
How would he know when you quit tithing?
Because he checks the records to see who's tithing and who's not tithing.
So do you put it in an envelope with your name on it? I mean, how do you know that that's, or do you write a check, or is it cash, or how do people know who's given what?
Well, I'll write a check.
Okay. Yeah.
Write a check and stick it in the deal, you know.
And
Okay. sometimes it'd be, you know, the people back then, I was getting a lot of money or yen, you know, and I'd give a lot of money also. But I thought I had to. But when I found out through David's teachings, that's not the only one, but through David's teaching, I immediately quit and started helping the poor folks, you know, and helping ministers struggling. I did that a lot too, and other things, you know. And it just their preachers get greedy. Believe it or not, there's preachers that get greedy. And I could start naming some names, but I'm not going to. But you know the people that are greedy about tithing and all that kind of thing. It's horrendous what they're doing. That's why God's fixing to shake the world. Glory to God. Hi, Ben. That's why I'd like to see revival. I want to see revival with people who love the Lord. I've met too many of the leadership in Christianity that don't love the Lord. Something else I've been reading about. Let me ask y'all a question. What constitutes a good praise and worship song? Right, Julie.
I would say, well, praise is exalting him and thanking God and praising him for who he is and what he's done and that kind of thing. And worship is, you know, something is from your heart. You know, it's exalting him. It comes with love, and it comes, you know, it expresses something, you know, that, you know, a lot of it's like from the Psalms and the scriptures, you know, that kind of thing. So worship, I think, means to kiss towards. And we want to lift him and exalt him and praise and who he is and what he's done for us. I think that's what I'm thinking. And it's just a, you know, a, you know, it's like my, you know, what's that scripture about worshiping him? And you know, the days will come when the people of his people will worship him in spirit and truth. So it's being filled with the Holy Spirit and being moved by the Spirit, and you're able to discern, I think, from if a song and the lyrics or whatever are not really worship, true worship to the Lord. You know, so that you can tell, I think over time you can tell if it's a real song that's, but you know, is of the Spirit of God and not man kind of thing. Maybe that's the way of saying it.
Yeah. Anybody else? What is a good praise song? A good praise and worship song? And to me, it's something that glorifies God, and it leads us into wanting more of Him, right? That's what I would think. But we have a bunch of songs out there that just sound good. Got a good beat to it, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Julie. I didn't see your hand up till just now.
I just raised it again. Like you were just saying something else that was coming to me. It's like you want to get closer to God. You want to go higher in the Lord. You want to go deeper in the Lord. And it's like a it's not motivation, that's not the right word, but It increases your desire for him. That's what I was thinking. It increases your desire for him, to get closer to him, to want to be near him, and to know him more.
Amen. I believe that. I believe that. And it should stir up the spirit inside of us, shouldn't it? It should stir the spirit up inside of us. It should be biblical. Anybody got anything else on praise and worship? How many of you know there's some songs that, man, you could just feel the presence of God every time you hear it. Yeah, that's one. Another one is, I've got Revelation song. That's a good one. And those kinds of songs, man. And also Jerusalem Arise. That's another good one. Those songs lift up the Lord and lift you up in Him, and want you to strive to go deeper and deeper and deeper into Him. But there's songs like, you remember when you first got saved in those dead churches, that, man, you just, I'd be glad when this was over. I'll be glad when that was over. I'll be glad when they quit doing it. Go ahead, Julie.
No, lost my train of thought. Lord, bring it back. Oh, songs like that, what you were talking, Revelation song, and just other songs. Your personal time of worship, where you feel the presence of the Lord, where it ushers in His presence into the room. You feel His presence sometimes, or you know He's there, and that you visualize. Even I do sometimes. I'll visualize even that, the angels are here singing with me. I do that on Friday when we have the live stream. Because I know that the presence of the Lord a lot of times is there, and you guys feel it and stuff. But it's like, so the angels are singing with us, glorifying God. He's in it. So it's like just, ushering us into His presence. That's what, I guess, would worshiping in spirit and truth would be, is, desiring Him and wanting to be in His presence. And your own personal worship is from your heart. There's nothing insincere about it. It's real. It's your real, because He knows when you're singing any song, who you're singing it to, and what is it for Him, or is it for you? Is it to be seen of man? See, I sing sometimes of these people in videos, and even in the churches when they're on stage and they're singing, sometimes I wonder if it's not for their own glory, a place of glorifying the Lord. And maybe you've seen that too. Some of these people are just very, they're entertainers, not so much wanting to do it because it's the Lord. I'm not judging. It's just I sense that sometime, some of the people that were coming to this big church I was involved in, and they would get, some of these big names come into the church, and it's like, why are they doing this as a performer in front of, a bunch of people? Or are they really doing it for the Lord? I hope they're doing it for the Lord. Amen.
There's a lot of aspects to being a Christian that, well, we could sit all here all day and a half tonight, if not all night long, talking about. But I want to know, the Lord in a way that You know, we say these things. We say, I want to know the Lord in a deeper relationship. I want to be able to hear His voice all the time, but I want to do it on my own time. And that's been my past. You know, I want to do it on my own time. That's not going to get you a whole lot. You'll have instances. But he wants, the Lord wants, I'm learning this, the Lord wants, what's the word? He wants discipline. He wants a daily thing with him, because you're building a relationship with the Lord. And when you build a relationship with the Lord, you have to spend time with him, don't you? Just like you would a person. If I was building a relationship with somebody, I'd have to spend time with him in order to learn how they are and what they are. And that's the same way with the Lord. You have to spend time with him so you get to know him and you're familiar with him. And boy, I'll tell you, the old flesh don't like it, does not like it. Anyway, anybody else? What you eating? Oh, pretzel. A hard pretzel. Ain't that special? Oh. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Sometimes I think the best worship songs are the most simple ones, ones that aren't real wordy, you know,
Yeah.
and or just really help you focus in on the Lord and just be able to just really focus on the Lord and be able to shut everything else out, you know?
Yeah,
That's
absolutely. Is that it? That's a record. I'm just kidding you, Missy. You're back home now. I can do that. You're not. You're. I'm out of. I'm out of harm's way. Oh my. What is the fruit of the, what's the best fruit of the spirit? Which one? Which one's the best one? Go on with yourself, girl. What is that? Love. LUV, love. I see it. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well, I always think that all the rest of them come out of that, you know.
Sure.
Without love, you know, just think about it, you know. 1 Corinthians 13. God is love, you know. So, yeah. Everything's encompassed in love.
Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm trying to get something here started, and what y'all want to talk about? Five? You want to talk about the number five? Number six. Number seven. She can count.
I had
Praise the
to count.
Lord.
I had to count. It, that's how many people we have in here.
We got six. Yeah, there's only six.
There are two people sitting in that one screen. That makes two, Michael.
Boy, I tell you
We're
what,
including you, Michael.
I've
All
been
of us
corrected
together
two
is seven.
times tonight. Man.
Want to help you count? Are you counting yourself? Because we are. We're
Probably
counting
not.
you.
No, I
Okay.
wasn't counting Ben or Andrew. I was just counting the photos, the little places there. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Don't forget the most important one is Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my. Great. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you feel content where you are with God? Let me say it another way. Let me say it another. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Are you holding faith to believe that God is doing a work in you? Are you having the faith to believe that God is doing that work in you? I should say, because it's nothing that we can do other than to believe what God is, that He's doing that work in us. And what we have to do, our job is to have the faith to believe that, right? And how do we get that faith? Look in that word and find out how Jesus was and start doing what He did. That's what I like about David. David said, read the word and then start doing the word. You know, all right. Well, it's going to be a long night, it looks like. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, let's just pray for Donald Trump. Let's pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in whom you call the Cyrus of this age. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that at the right moment that this man will come wholeheartedly to you. And I thank you for that, Father. I don't want to see him miss this wonderful opportunity to come into the kingdom. And I pray for his soul, Lord. I pray for his very soul. And I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to him and bringing him into the kingdom, even if it's the last second of his life. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Not a problem. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I came across a real old YouTube video last night of Glenda Lomax, and it
Oh, yeah.
was like from like 2009. How many years ago is that? 16 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And I don't know if that was like how long she'd been doing, YouTube channel. I don't remember. I didn't go back and I didn't really look at. But anyhow, the what she was saying was, and it goes along the lines what Michael was talking about, revival and stuff, but she was emphasizing how the Lord was telling her to intercede for the people around you, to intercede for the people you know are not saved. And but Michael was just praying for Donald Trump and his family for that matter, and we so we, it was just really it really stirred me. I mean, I do pray for people, that the Lord brings across my path. But I was laying in bed then later thinking about that, and that's our job. He's called us to be a kingdom of priests, and the priests are in the temple, and they're making, they're lighting the incense, they're burning the incense, and they're sacrificing themselves to do the work of, ministry in the temple, and that's what we've been called to. So I was laying in bed praying for, just more and more people that this guy was bringing to my mind, and I'm sure we all do this, but I just thought it was a good reminder. And for that matter, praying for revival. I was praying for, for some of these revivals that have started already, and because they have, I know that there's been a move of God since Charlie Kirk, and others, even before that happened, that there's been moves of people getting a lot of moves of, hundreds, thousands of people getting baptized. I know God's moving, and so I know that it's happening. And I just think, that's just the United States. Well, that's not just, but here where we are in the United States. But I think part of that is the revival in that, like John the Baptist was before Christ. John the Baptist came and preached revival. He preached to make ready the way of the Lord. And I think that's partly what we're supposed to be doing too. Is just, praying for people to repent, and maybe doing more of that. And maybe, maybe that's how a lot of these revivals start, is praying for a lot of, God repentance, repentance, repentance. And it starts in our own, like we were talking, within our own selves, and giving us that diligence to be who we're supposed to be and seeking the Lord and being doing the work of ministry in the temple of the Lord, and we're the temple, and seeking his face to go before him on behalf of these people. And isn't that what revival really, in a sense, Michael, correct me here if I'm wrong, but isn't that a lot of it, what it is about repentance and turning, people would turn to the Lord, and that people would, be convicted of their sin, convicted of and want the Holy Spirit and working in people's lives. One of the things, one of the things Glenda said too in that, and I didn't know that, but she said that she, one of the things that she knew people were praying for her. They weren't, they, she'd had people talk to her about the Lord, but what she learned was it was more effective to go to God and talk to him about the people you want to pray for. And not so much talk to them and try to push, faith on them, or your, religion, or the Bible, or just anything. So that'll happen when they're ready. And she gave her testimony about she saw somebody that she was around all the time, but just that these how this is how people she knew were praying for her, but that she saw somebody. I don't know, how long she was around this person, but just her character and the way that she exemplified her life and how she lived, that it caused Glenda to want to know more and start asking questions. And so that's how it worked for her. Now, that was part of her, what she was sharing, that, it's not so much, going to people and telling them about Jesus as it is going to God and talking to him about the people that need him. So I thought that was kind of a key thing too. Is talking to God about what they need, how they need him, but how they're not listening to me. God brings someone they'll listen to. That kind of thing. Anyhow, I just thought I would share that.
Yeah, I was reading here. When you talk to the Lord, and most of the times we talk to the Lord, or if I'm gonna reiterate, not reiterate, but just put it to myself. When I talk to the Lord, how many of you want an immediate answer from the Lord? We all do. We all do. But do we always get that immediate answer? No, we don't. Have you found yourself asking the Lord, "Well, Lord, what about this? And can you tell me what I need to do about this?" And then there's nothing. Just silence. Just silence. And then you have to, you, how many of them feel like you got to say something? Lord, did you hear me? Or something, or something. Well, maybe he didn't like that question. I got to form it another way. No. What he wants us to, and this is something I found out through trial and error, you got to shut up and sit there and be humble for a while until you get an answer. It's liable to take an hour, maybe two. But just be quiet and let the Lord work in you. That's what he's doing. He's working in us when we are quiet like that. He's teaching us patience. He's teaching us whatever, teaching us to be humble and not to drive up to McDonald's and get a hamburger and go home. The McDonald's, it's got to be real quick. But no, it doesn't have to be real quick. It's liable to be 2 or 3 days later before you get an answer on some things. It's liable to be a week. And that's the reason I brought that up is because that used to be my biggest problem was waiting to, Lord, did you hear what I said, what I asked you? I know you did because you're right here with me. I wonder why I'm not getting an answer. What did I do wrong, Lord? That's what I want to know. What did I do wrong that you're not going? And what I did wrong was trying to question him. When I ought to just shut up and listen. Go ahead, Missy.
I find lots of times I get an answer when I'm least expecting it.
You did what?
I find lots of times I get an answer when I'm least
Oh,
expecting it.
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Happens a lot. But the
Because
problem, the, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you was
no,
through.
well, we both kind of wanted to
Yeah.
say more about that. It's like being patient, or it's like if you're, I don't know, it's like sitting there waiting, and it's like waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's like want an answer right away, and like you were saying. But the Lord wants us to be patient, and I guess He wants us to pray more about whatever it is. Sometimes it may be something that, maybe it's not His will. We want an answer about something or whatever, and maybe He wants to show us, change our mind on it or something. You know what I mean? That maybe what we're asking for isn't. I don't know how to explain it, That's just some thoughts I have, but yeah, just being patient, not being like a little child. I want it now. Oh, my mom told me when I was little, I was a little, and I don't remember being like this, persistent. I'd keep at her and keep at her and keep at her about something.
I can believe that.
And it's so perturbed her. But anyway.
Amen. I think sometimes, Missy, that he just wants us to shut up and listen and just wait. We're used to clatter going on all the time. We're used to entertainment. We're used to all of these things happening, and boy, when it gets quiet, people get nervous. I saw a wise old man on YouTube. Just was it yesterday? I believe it was yesterday. He said, a little word of advice. He said, keep your mouth shut. He said, you'll learn more about somebody when you shut up and listen. He went on to say, he said, even in deals, when they ask you a question about some big money thing, he said, just be quiet. He said, they can't stand the quiet, and they'll say something they shouldn't say that will reveal something to you that will help you in your negotiation, this stuff like that. He said the most successful people are the ones who keep quiet a lot. And for some of us, that's hard to do. See, I'm wanting Ben and Andrew to say something now, and they just sitting to me and they just I'm just kidding, Andrew. All right, Julie, go ahead.
What you were just saying brought a scripture to my mind. I couldn't remember where it was at. That's Ecclesiastes 5:2. Something we have to all remember, I guess, right? What you were just talking about, Michael. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That's exactly what you're saying, and you're saying, just learn to be quiet. That's Ecclesiastes 5:2.
Well, if you'll notice, Trump does the same thing. He doesn't reveal everything. Trump does that as a businessman, he does that. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring some of that stuff out. What did you have, Andrew? Did you have something you wanted to share?
Well, I was just thinking that you make a petition, then you're wondering what's taking so long. But God can read that in you too, that you're wondering what's taking so long, because you see, we're dealing with an almighty God, and we are very fortunate to call him Father too, because he's being patient with us on these things. Whatever it might be, he knows exactly. He knows when you're being tempted. He knows that was a temptation. Sometimes you get tempted, and they make you think it's your idea, and he knows that happened too. You see, so and he's gotta sort of jostle you awake and say, okay, angel, you tell him now that his mind is wandering or something. And that's a good thing when that happens, though, because you don't want to get caught daydreaming when you were in school, looking out the window, and you don't want to get in too much of a daydream with the Lord. We want to be always aware that he knows all things, sees all things, and he knows when you're feeling bad in your heart about things. He knows when you go through your sorrows and when you go through your happy times too. And he knows how to keep you calm. when you need to be kept calm. Saying a few words he protects you. Yeah. Praise God.
I don't know who wrote this, but it's some good stuff. Stop speaking words that reinforce shame. Don't call yourself worthless, weak, or dirty. No matter how you feel, your words have power. Say what God says about da 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 da. That's not where I want it. Where is it? Oh, I think it's over here. I like what he says here. He says, when you mess up, and you will, don't run from God, run to him. Confess the sin, receive the cleansing, and move forward. And don't sit in guilt for 3 days trying to punish yourself. Jesus already took the punishment. You don't have to pay for something that's already been paid. Now ask the Holy Spirit to help you see yourself the way the Father sees you. Not through the lens of your past, but through the finished work of Jesus. Because when your identity lines up with heaven's perspective, unworthiness doesn't stand a chance. A lot of times we take what we've done in the past and carry it too far. Even if it was yesterday, it's too far. God, if you repent of your sin, you know, a lot of times we like to carry that burden with us. And that steals our faith. Yeah, Andrew.
That's something I think you have to watch out for, too, because that in itself could be a temptation. When you get reminded of the past, of your sordid past, and you go, and I remember once a person saying on there, if the tempter is going to remind you of the past, you remind him of his future. Anyway, I don't know if that works, but. So if you can keep focused and when you're tired, you have to expect the Lord to intercede for you to help you in those times of tiredness. Yeah. And you gotta, you know, you. We have to remember that we're children of light. Yeah. You know what? God said, let there be light. And he was God the Father. And he saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. But I think it was on the fourth day that he created the sun, moon, and stars. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when he says you're a child of light, of course you are. Because he's God the Father. And you're his son. He called you to partake of a new life in Christ Jesus. And that life has a lot of light to it, because it's the glory of God that God wants to share with you. And it's of course, it's all given to us by grace, but, you know, he soon... When you start just even thinking about these kind of things, you know, like, you know, his word, his all-powerful word, for no word of God shall be void of power. Why is that? Because all scripture is even God-breathed. And sometimes, you know, When you're reading the scriptures, you can, just by glancing at a page of scripture, you can get things. Because if all scripture is God breathed, and Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life, and then even that word is God breathed because it is teaching you something. It is correcting you. It is reproving you, and it's making you righteous. The practice of righteousness, the discipline of it, and until you're complete. You know, because that complete word is in that 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So. The day we learn on how to let God go before us, and lead the way, and guide us, and keep us all the time, you know, then all your little issues don't really seem that important anymore. So you want something that He's already doing, by the way, and is already done. And as for hearing from the Lord, I used to love when the Lord, I believe He used my angel to talk to me a few times, you know, when I was young in the Lord. And of course, the Holy Spirit is supposed to remind you of everything He taught you. And you know, this name thing, you know, when you're talking about the name of God and the name of Jesus and the name of the Holy Spirit, it's all the name. You know, it's all coming from the source of the Father, you know, and then it comes down to Jesus, and you know, the song there about the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. And then they repeat it three times: blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be, and then the last one is most high. You know, it's the Father. And then you suddenly realize, well, it's all the Father, really, and this Father also wants to walk in us, and then the comfort should come, you know, and the voice should come to you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come unto you, you know, and that's what it says. I will come unto you, you know, and He's going to come and in your time of distress and your time of need. And as long as you learn to be quiet, keep still, be still, and watch the power of God, be still, you know, he'll split a sea open for His people to go through when you be still. Yeah, so I just praise and give thanks to God. And we're supposed to rejoice in tribulation, so... And because it works patience, so you can get all flustered about what someone else is going through, someone you love. You know, you'd be thinking about that all the time, and you need some relief from God, you know. And that's why sometimes it's very important to keep quiet when people are going through some things. They might keep quiet too, you know, because. Their mind might be elsewhere, but your mind has to be on the Lord. You know, is this a test? You know, it's not a test for me, but you know, when is it that you intervene? How much does it take for what a person to go through to maybe come to the Lord, to maybe gain that repentance? You know, what did it take for Paul? You know. Was that day in the Lord's mind for the longest time? The Lord it's easy for Him to do the things, and He's going to make it easy for us to be used by Him in these things. But I can't see it not being easy, because you see, He's setting up Cornelius. He set up Peter at the same time on the rooftop. He's got it all choreographed. And if it's just that one little story there, but it was the same with Paul when he choreographed him. It was the same with the young lad in the third floor rafters, you know, and it's the same with us. We were called to partake of a life that is the only life you should want, your new man. And the same way you have good rapport with your father, your earthly father, he wants to tell you, wait a minute, I'm just a practice dad. You got a father in heaven. You know, some of us want to relay that to other people, you know, and you just have to depend upon all that you've ever said, that is what the Lord will use, and the things you have said that were wrong, I found myself praying even, Lord, let them forget about that stuff that I said wrong, that I spoke too much, and let them just remember the things that are right with you. All glory and honor unto you, Father. You know, it's we're here as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, and that's a given by grace. And you know, you could be an ambassador of your country. You're going to want the values of your country. We want the values of that kingdom first, and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And you know what? There's a verse on the last page that says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. And he's making us. He's showing us how we should walk in these times and in these days. And sometimes, you know, I don't know, I've heard this term brain fog. I didn't know how to describe it before. At least they gave me some sort of word to know I should call it brain fog, because you know, you're in a daze, you're daydreaming or something, and all these things that you know you can utter sometimes, they seem to escape you. And what are you going to do now? Well, you have lots of venues. You can start going to the Word and reading the Bible at that time, praying, praising the Lord, speaking in tongues. Then you'll find yourself that the meditation will start coming back, and you'll be back on the course. Because this brain fog can get you to stray in this direction or in that direction. Or they said, she said, he said, what said, who said, everybody said something. And every word has a spirit attached to it. So, you know, every word read, every word heard, every word spoken, and every word that pops into your head has a spirit attached to it. Whether on the good side or the evil, whether it's sweet or bitter, whether it's light or darkness. But we have to discern these things. We have to get back and be focused on the Lord, especially when you have needs. And when people struggle, you know, Paul said something interesting on how he had such great care for the church that he feared when the people would mess up. And Timothy got the same thing from Paul, I guess. He was getting his studies from Paul to be the next apostle, and he had the same fear in him. You know, he was sometimes in fear when he had to address the people who were going through things, this and that, the other thing, you know. And so The Lord will remind you of everything you read if you can keep your mind in a steady pace. And of course, it's not you. It's you being calmed down, and now you're being open to the Lord because you're God's workmanship. And if you got God working for you to keep you, to lead you, to guide you, any person who ever had any young children, were around young children, and you have to watch over them and babysit them, then you got to watch they don't get into this or that, you know, and then you got to do everything for them, and your reward is just a wonderful smile. And that's enough, you know. But here's a question for you. Does the Lord control your smiling? Well, praise and glory to God. The Lord knows what we want and what we like, especially when it's Him involved in it and doing it, and when He gives you the answers. And let the Lord fight our battles. Praise and glory to God.
You know, a lot of time people think of God as this great big God sitting up on a big throne up in heaven. Can't hear you, can't do nothing. All He's worried about is running the world. I read some time ago about this guy that every morning he'd get up in the morning. Can y'all hear me? Okay, I'm not close enough to that microphone, maybe. But he said, I'd wake up every morning and I'd tell the Holy Spirit, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning. I'm so glad you're with me today." He said, the reason I did that is to keep my focus on what I was supposed to be about that day, and that was to do whatever God wanted him to do. And God was the one that would have to talk with him. Sometimes we get to thinking that God ain't got time for our little old garbage stuff, you know. Yeah, He does. He wants to develop a relationship with us in a way that we can hear Him all the time. Y'all remember that story I told about John Lake? One time he and his wife were driving, and the Lord told him, pull over on the left-hand side. He was going this way. And most of the time, you know, you'd think you'd have to go to the right and pull off the shoulder. The Lord told him, pull off on the left over here. So he did just whatever the Holy Spirit told him to do. He pulled off on the left over there. Lo and behold, around a corner came a log truck out of control. If he'd have stayed in that land, in that lane, it would have killed him and his wife both. And that's what he was trying to get across. You have to listen to it and do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And a lot of times we think that the Holy Spirit or God's not going to move unless we're in a fellowship setting, you know. And I know those are good, but you could get the same thing by yourself because you're not by yourself. Oh, let me tell you what I saw last night at the meeting. I saw a great big angel show up right in the middle of the floor. He had to have been, when I say great big, I'm not talking humongous, but he was like 8 or 10 foot tall. And he had a white robe on with gold sash. And I said, ain't this special? And then Debbie saw him also, Debbie Finsky. And it was awesome. He stayed there the whole night. Yeah, Missy, you were there, weren't you? Yeah, Missy was there.
I didn't see any angels though, but Alexa, she spoke up first and said, there's angels all in this room. There's a bunch of angels.
Yeah,
Did you hear her
yeah,
say that? Yeah.
yeah, yeah, yeah. She sees them quite regularly. She sees them. She sees basically about the same thing that I do. Her and Debbie both. And that's really confirmation. You know, that's what I like to hear. I remember that time that I saw Jesus come over and grab, wanted me to tell David to get up and dance with him. And after it was all over with, he said, David didn't ask me anything. He just acted like he believed everything. But he told me later, he said, I had to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, did all that happen? And the Lord told him, said, yeah, just like Michael says, it happened. So Jesus came, wanted you to dance with him. Said first he came over and gave him a hug. Gave David a great big old hug. I'm thinking, well, where's mine? No, I didn't either. I was rejoicing that David was getting a hug from Jesus. But and it doesn't have to happen in a fellowship. I see angels in my room. Do y'all see angels in your room every now and then? Yeah. Well, I'm not saying I'm special or not. I'm able to see. When you pray in the spirit a lot, you start seeing stuff. That's what I believe. I don't know, but that's what I believe. And I notice when I quit praying in the spirit so much that it drops way down. So, well, I guess we want to do is to stay in the spirit all the time. Stay locked into the spirit all the time. And I pray in the spirit a lot. I pray in the spirit a lot. Sometimes out loud, sometimes under my breath. Sometimes walking, sometimes just sitting. And it's not that I'm anybody. I'm not anybody. Jesus is the one somebody. He's the one, and the Holy Spirit is to guide and direct us, teach us, and bring back the scriptures. And I'm always amazed at Andrew, the memory that he has that the Lord has given him to on these scriptures, pulls them right out of the air. I have noticed this, Andrew, when I used to preach at these different churches, that the Lord would bring those verses to my memory instantly, you know. Who was it? It was, oh gosh, what's the guy's name that wrote the great big Bible? Nave? No, not Nave. Finest Date. The Date Bible. That thing weighs about 15 pounds. It's got all kinds of stuff in it, and most of it is just stuff. But he, if I'm not mistaken, he was the one that had memorized the whole Bible. The Lord just dropped in on him. Memorized the whole Bible. The Lord dropped in on him. And they tested him one time on the radio. I was told this. And they tested him. And they put a guy in there. And he told him, Dake told him, he said, I'll tell you what, he'd ask him, he said, what, do you want me to give you the punctuation also? Yeah, that's how much the Lord just dropped it into him. And they let him quote, I don't remember, I think it was the New Testament, but he quoted the New Testament verbatim from memory. And they was going along with him in the Bible. And he didn't miss nothing, they said, you know. And I remember another guy, let's see. It was Perry Stone's uncle. I can't remember his name. But the Lord told him one time, he told him, he said, "You will be able to understand and speak any language that somebody comes up and starts talking to you with." In other words, if a Chinaman came up there and started talking to him, he'd understand every word, and it worked. He understood every language that anybody came up to him. This is our God we're talking about. Man, well, he can make us do all kinds of things, or allow us to do all kinds of things, whatever it is needed to get the gospel out. I hesitate to say it, but when this revival starts, we're going to see miracles that we never even thought were possible. I'm seeing miracles right now I never thought was possible. Just living with David. That's a miracle in itself. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. He is, he has a lot of wisdom, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. David does. He's always, he gets excited like a kid. He say, "Oh man," I said, "let me tell you what I saw. Golly." And then he'll drop into this thing, and here we go, you know. I said, "What? You did what? Oh man." You know, he said, "Yeah, yeah," like it wasn't nothing, you know. I said, "David, did you get any film of it or anything?" Of course not. But he has a gift that the Lord has given him. Each one of y'all have a gift that the Lord has given you also. And just because you haven't seen it done in somebody else's church doesn't mean it's happening, not happening. If I sat here and told you half of what I know right now, y'all would leave out of here and say, "That guy's nuts." Yeah. Y'all would leave out of here and say, "That guy's nuts." But it's God. It's God. It's not anybody. It's not David. It's God. Yeah, Andrew.
I think Festus called the Apostle Paul a madman too. So, you know, you can't do that in our Parliament Hill here because they'll kick you out. So. But, you know, Paul, you're mad for your much learning. Most excellent Festus, I am not mad. You know? And with but little, you try to convince me to be a Christian. Whether by little, and no, sometimes you'll just, with some people, you know, they don't have such a big elaborate testimony, but whether by little or by much, I would that you were a Christian, except these bonds, Paul said to King Agrippa. And here he's addressing all these elites, you know, and he gives them his testimony on how he met Christ, you know, from you know, Acts 9 to Acts 26, you know, and, it's so amazing, you know, that, and if you read it carefully, you'll see even government officials being, being told what to say in favor of the apostle, you know, and in the book of Acts, you know, and it's so neat the way it works out that once when, the high priest and the Pharisees asked to give Paul to him as a favor, you know, and the way the Roman is addressing this, you know, because he's dressing it in favor of Paul, you know, and it's kind of neat. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Hey, Pat. It's good to see you, brother. We're talking about the Lord.
Good subject.
Yeah, it is. How are you doing?
Getting tired of this night shift stuff.
How much longer are you going to be on it?
Probably a couple months.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Lord, we just pray and thank you for changing it out. Let him come in next week on daytime. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe that? Amen. We're going to thank you, Lord, that you're going to change his schedule for next week. And that'll be, then he can give the glory to God because he knows them guys ain't going to do it. It'll be you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. What we're talking about is listening to God, just stuff. We're going all over the spectrum right now. Hearing God is a good one. Hearing God. I heard it. First time I heard the Lord out loud, it scared me. I was putting my blue jeans on one morning. I was saying, Lord, I just love you. He said, I love you too, Michael. Just like that. Came right there on the back of my head, right there. I said, whoa, I had to sit down. I said, what was that? And I could hear him snickering. No, I'm making that up, but it was God just telling me how much he loved me. Gosh, that's been many years ago. 20-something years ago. Since then, I've heard him a lot of times. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe, I'm sorry. I just now saw you.
No problem. I just wanted thinking what Andrew was talking about is what God says is what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what not put in a man's heart, those are things I prepare for those who love me. So I think it's God knows before we ask. Why don't we just wait? Because God gave us patience. Why does he give us patience? Because we're dwelling in time. He's not dwelling in time. We're dwelling in time. In other words, you know, before we ask, we just have to be patient and listen, be obedient and know you already answered our prayers before we ask. Just patience. That's what I learned yesterday. Reestablish the mind yesterday is be patient. God is working, not in your time, in my time, because it's not about me, Joe. It's about Christ in me. He's preparing sons for what's coming. Not about me, it's about Christ in me. It's his holiness, his patience, and his love, and his life is living through me. It's not me. Thank you.
Amen, Joe. Right on, brother. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just wonder if anyone knows the address of that verse, because I'm just enamored with it now. So does anyone know where that verse is written that Joe just quoted?
Go ahead, Missy.
Christ in me.
The hope of glory.
Christ, that's Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is Colossians 1:27. I'm not sure if that's what you're asking about or not.
No, it's the one Joe just quoted.
What was it? What did he quote?
Oh, man. It was so cool.
Hey, Joe, quote that again. Quote that again, Joe. got to run back to his computer now.
No. What eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and what not come up in man's heart, those things I have prepared for those who love me. It's not exactly, it's a little bit dark. Thank you.
What's the address?
He doesn't know.
I'm not sure, Michael.
You don't need to know the address.
Okay. That's fine. Go ahead, Missy.
I think it might be 1 Corinthians 2:9, something like that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. 1 Corinthians.
Go ahead, Julie.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's quoting from Isaiah 64:4. For from of old men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee who worketh for him that waiteth for him. And that's, I think, what Missy just said. I think. You said it was Corinthians? Corinthians 2:9-10. Mm-hmm. It's a good verse.
Okay, listen, I'm going to quote it. If I can get it up here. But as it is written, things which I saw not, ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Glory be to God. Yes, he does. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
That's what Jesus said about the Comforter coming, the Holy Spirit. In his name, he's going to teach you all things and remind you of everything he taught you. You know, and so that's just another place of his reminding you. But you know, it's also that this word has to function through you, be active in you, you know. And that's the activeness of the word, you know, in the Hebrews there. Where it says all scripture, you know, is living is the word of God and active, you know. And if it is active in you, then it's by the breath of God, because that's what the teaching verse says, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16. So it's actually when Jesus said the words that I speak to you are spirit and life, but when they're active in you, then it's in him we live, move, and have our being. So And of course, you know, he said that he's going to dwell in us and walk even. And one God and Father was over all, in all, and through all. You know? So, wow. You know, so you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. I just gave you five, I think. So it better be established in you. But, you know, it's the breath of God, and it's, you know, for no word of God shall be void of power, you know, and power is a grace given, you know. The power of God, the Holy Spirit of God is given by grace, and by grace have you been saved. And that's why so many people pick up on the tongue so well, because he's giving you the Holy Spirit now. So, because it's part of his grace. So all these givings that he gives you, you know, love unchanging or unfretted, you know, and the things that are sorrows to us to comfort us later, and the things that are comfort for us to comfort us, you know, like kindness and just to hear a kind word from in fellowship and stuff to get a person going. And praise and glory to God. But you see, this verse here is another verse where God is preparing, you know, for us our walk, you know. If we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God prepared, then this is all him doing this for us to walk in these these wonderful works of the fruits of the Spirit, of the gifts of the Spirit, of the blessings of God, of our provision, all of these things. And this is what's in this 1 Corinthians 2 9, you know? And it could be endless for us, you know? It could be an amazing thing, you know? You can have two people doing this in tandem, or this person doing it his way, but it's still God's way, and this person's doing it his way, and it's still God's way. And they could come at whatever needs to be done from two different sources, from two different sets of words, from two different mindsets in this body of Christ, because he's got several members here to approach this in their prayer times, in their thought that they're putting in that body over there. But yet again, you know, God is so massive and endless that if he has this corporate body of his people, he can put a different thought in everyone to get on this one item. Then what's going to happen? Because if he's sovereign and he's downloading into us and he's drawing us, Jesus said, no one can come unto me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up on the... If he's going to draw us even after we're saved, he draws us to a focused item that he wants you to do. And it could be scary too, because, you know, what if you're not participating? Forget that. The Lord has us participating, because he's over all, in all, and through all. See, I almost spoke against something. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Amen. I like that blazer you got on, Pat. That's nice. Amen, brother.
Does it make me look safe?
You look safe, brother.
Look like one of those guys standing out by the side of the road with a sign up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Well, it's good to have you tonight.
Good to be here. Plug in once in a while.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? I look like Joe.
Michael?
Hi, buddy.
Can I ask or just a comment? Not just make a comment. You know when Jesus went feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000, he was also teaching. Yeah. What I was thinking yesterday is, how did Jesus teach 5,000 people? He just one by one, or by groups, or how did he speak? Because he's also on a boat, a little bit in offshore, and he speak to the people. How did they hear all that people? He can't just speak to one or two teaching them, but how did they all hear the teaching?
One of the reasons that he got in the boat to go out there is because the water is a great amplifier. It will amplify his words further that way.
Well, okay, yeah.
That's what I think. Anyway, Andrew's probably got a different version, but that's...
Then how did he do the teachings when he multiplied the fish and loaves? There was no water there, Michael. Maybe there was something happening there that was more than... It's a 2:9 from 1 Corinthians. It's God magnifying the word so that it carries to the people that have to hear it. The same way that the breath of God and the Holy Spirit would remind us, but it was magnifying his word because he's getting it out to the people now.
Amen.
That's I heard that water one too, and it does make sense. But what about all the Sermon on the Mount, you know?
Amen.
You know, and yeah. Praise God.
They had real good amplifiers back then and microphones. You know, I'd like to think that Jesus had a booming voice. You know what I'm saying? But I bet he didn't. I bet he had a quiet voice. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I think the one he was up in where they fed the 5,000. Didn't they follow him and he went up like into the mountains? Now, I've never been to Jerusalem, but I've seen like pictures and stuff like around Galilee. There's a lot of hills, you know, a lot of mountainous, kind of hilly, you know, higher, lower places and stuff. And I would guess that those areas, like the water amplified, I would guess also that his voice would echo out through, bounce off the wall, you know, the mountains, the rock and stuff too, maybe. But I also think it was more of a supernatural thing that people were allowed to hear. If they were there, that God allowed them to hear. And then when you guys were just talking, I was thinking, well, didn't something similar to that happen, like with Moses? You know, with all the people going out to the, you know, how did they hear everything Moses and Joshua said? You know, there were how many millions of people went out there, they, you know, and they heard what they heard? Was it all like, okay, it's time to go. Okay, it's time to go. Okay. You know, it's like, you know, they just keep passing along. I mean, I don't know, you know, how did they hear? I think it was a lot of it. My mind, it has to be supernatural. That many heard without. It
probably was, yeah. Yeah. What's that red arrow pointing at you for, Pat?
That's an exit sign.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see it now.
Yeah. I'm setting off in an office, or an open office space over here.
Okay. Amen. Yeah, I think when he fed, he was on top, he was on a hill when he fed the 5,000. And probably had rocks behind him. Lord, like y'all said, the Lord can make everybody hear anything you say. Yeah, Julie.
Well, I was thinking about that, the meditating on those scriptures too. And it's like they had them, you know, I don't know how you guys interpret all that, but he had them, he told us, you know, had them all sit down. Have the people sit down. It was grass in those areas, you know, there was grass in those areas. So there had to have been like plain, you know, meadows or whatever up there to have grass. So, but he, you know, they sat down in like groups of whatever, 50 and 100 and that kind of thing, you know? So I was just wondering, you know, why, what significance does that have? They had them all sit down in groups of 50 and 100. It was make it easier to serve them, right? To get to them, but it must have some other meaning, I'm thinking. But he had them all sit down in the grass. And I think, and that's, you know, humbling yourself, and the grass is flesh. I don't know. Just thoughts out loud.
Amen. I don't know. Never gave it a whole lot of thought. Well, I know. Yes, Joe.
That's another thing that Julie mentioned, the interesting guy. I always think about is a 5,000. But people sit on grass. But on the 4,000, there was no grass. I was always thinking about that. Why is that? There must be a reason, some way. He specifically referenced grass in a 5,000, but not in a 4,000, he said.
I don't know, Joe. Maybe we can look at that. Anybody got an answer to that? I'd rather sit on the grass than I had the dirt, when y'all. Or the rocks, or whatever they got there. Well, yeah, this thought just came to me, and it's time to go. But what was the biggest miracle that Moses saw? Think about that. What?
There were so many. How do you narrow it
I
down to one?
know. Well, think of the one that I'll tell you one that really amazed me was the water coming out of the rock. And everybody got a drink, and all the animals got a drink, and they still had water. You're talking about over a million people. Whew, and all the horses and all the mules and all the whatever else, the monkeys, whatever they had. I don't know what they had. Yeah, Pat.
I would say when that Red Sea split in half, I would have to say that was a pretty great miracle. So I would have to put that up there, rate that pretty high, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when it closed on the enemy, they're still finding stuff down there from that experience. Okay, it looks like we're out of time. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed.